I see we got a new member of the team up here too. Andre, thank you for playing this morning. So, yeah. That's right. Encouragement's a good thing. So, welcome to Ouray Christian Fellowship. Again, my name is Paul Karras. I'm the senior pastor here, and I just want to thank you for worshiping with us this morning. If you have missed a couple of weeks, I'm just going to do a quick review so you know where we're at. We're in a series in Proverbs here, The Way of Wisdom. We're actually coming down to the last two messages today and next week. And so, but just to kind of go back and think through what we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. Week one, we talked about who wrote Proverbs. We looked at the things, the purpose to make you mature in faith and life. We talked about the difference between intelligence and wisdom. It's funny, every time I get to this part, I'm constantly thinking about people I've run across in my life who know a lot of stuff, and again, I'm not naming anybody, but I know a lot of dumb, smart people, you know? And so you can be smart, but not wise. And then we talked about this main principle coming out of Proverbs 7 about how your direction, not your intentions, determines your destination. And so we talked about practical ideas about this. You know, when we get in a car, we're heading a certain direction. If we're heading north, you know, and there's things south that we want to get to, you're heading in the wrong direction. It's the facts of life. But this also applies to other areas in our lives. And so as we think about relationships and finances and careers and things like this, you know, is the direction you're heading where you want to end up? And that's the idea. Week two, we looked at what if you find yourself on the wrong path? And so God is always gracious. He's a God of first, second, third, fourth, fifth chances. While you have breath in your lungs, you have a chance to change your ways. And so we looked at this verse here in Proverbs 22 and 27. The prudent see danger and hides themselves. So they take refuge, but the simple go on and suffer for it. And again, I can't tell you how many times I see this playing out in people's lives. There are those who see the danger coming, and again, this comes in all shapes and sizes, right? And they make changes. And then I also see so how many people continue just down the path thinking they're the exception to the rule, that somehow I can continue to do these things and these things will never catch up to me. And it just doesn't work that way. And so we saw the truth of this played out in week two. And then in week three, we learned about what are some of the common mistakes that we make in making decisions and when it comes to our lives. You know, Maria talked about college students making decisions, you know, especially those seniors and juniors who are having to figure out, okay, where am I going to really drill down in lines of a career? And so some of these mistakes come about because, you know, we trust our hearts. And we were learning that Scripture says, look, your hearts are deceitful. They lie to us. And that's not necessarily the best way to go. And so we talked about that. What do we need to be trusting on? We looked at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and they're talking about not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting the Lord, putting our hands in His, our lives in His hands. And this is the best thing we can do. Seek out wisdom from the Lord and His Word. And so we talked about the value of that in week three. And then in week four, we built on that. We built on that idea that as we've been given the Word of God, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, His presence, we talked about there's an additional thing that He gives us in our toolbox, and that is a community of men and women who are mature in faith. And the Scripture says, look, seek out counsel and plans fail because we lack many advisors. We don't seek out the right things. We seek out confirmation rather than wisdom. And we run after those things. And God says, no, I give you this whole community. If things seem to be a little unclear in the Word and the way I'm guiding you, run it up against some people who have been there and done that and are where you want to be. We so many times ask advice for people who are no further down the road than us. And yet, that's not the biblical principle that we're given here. Let's go seek out those men and women who know something. And so there's the three things that a wise person does. And they seek out men and women who are where you want to be, right? They ask mature men and women that are of faith for counsel. And then this big thing, wise people surrender their pride in seeking wisdom, not confirmation. And I love this because when you go back to Proverbs 1, we talked about the purpose of it to grow and mature you. And so if you're simple of mind, it's to grow and mature you. If you are mature in mind, it's still to grow and mature you. The fact is, we're never done learning until God calls us home. But our pride sometimes creeps up and says, well, I know what I know. I've been there, done that, and you can't teach me anything new. And so we talked about the danger of pride when it comes to growing in wisdom. And so this morning, I want to take actually a step back. And you're like, really? Yes. I want to go back to week one because I want to amend it a little bit. And I think there's a modification of nuance that I think we need to consider when we think about week one's principle. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. And we find this in Proverbs 4. This is our passage this morning. Solomon says something here that I think, as we look at it, I think we'll all agree it's true. So if you have your Bibles, open to Proverbs 4. We're going to read three verses here, and I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray first. Tara, you don't need to advance this. I got it. So, Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can come into your house of worship. Lord, we pray that our singing of songs, they glorified you. We pray, Lord, that as we look at your word, I pray, Lord, that we would glorify you in how we receive it. And I pray for understanding. Holy Spirit, would you lead us, that you would open our minds and eyes to see the things, the truth in the words of the scriptures, and that it would transform us into the men and women you desire us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so looking at these three verses together, Solomon writes, let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. You may be seated. Pretty short verse here. So here's what I think Solomon is saying, and here's where we're going to kind of amend for week one, okay? I think he's saying our destination is determined by our direction, and our direction is dictated by whatever holds our attention. Let that sink in. In our short version, your attention determines your direction. And so I want to think about this for a minute, about how we might apply this, okay? So I think the first week stands for itself, but I think what Solomon is saying is that there are things that are going to get our attention. There's things that are going to distract us. And I think we can see how this plays itself out. Even as I was writing this sermon this week, I can't tell you how many distractions I had. You know, I'm down writing a sermon, and then somebody walks in, next thing I know, okay, we're talking now, you know? Or there's interruptions. There's things that require our attention, and they can distract us. So I was thinking about this in some practical ways. One way that I see this principle playing out is think back to any romantic relationship you've had. Over the past year, I've been able to kind of hear your stories about how some of you met. And some of you guys have this similar thing in your stories, and it's this wow moment. I met so-and-so. I entered into this room of Bible study, or I was at a party or something like this. And this girl caught my attention, and I was like, whoa. Whoa. Or this girl, I saw this guy, and it was, whoa. Caught my attention. My story kind of begins in the same way. Kim and I will be married 24 years this year. But how did that start? How did we get there? There we are, young couple. Right? How do we get to the 23 years we're in now and then the 24 years? Well, it started with a wow moment. I was coming off of a terrible 2 years of college, and I came home, and I was kind of rebuilding my life and going through all sorts of things to prove that I could be trusted. And my first opportunity to get away from my parents again and give me some room is I went to go visit a friend at Nye College. And so, you know, I was going with him. It was a Friday. I went to classes with him. And one of the classes, Kim Craig, was in that class, and I went, whoa, who is that, Doug? I said, get us on a date tonight. True story. Took her out to Ruby Tuesdays. So I don't know if we have those out here. Kind of like an Applebee's. So It started with that. It was a wow moment. I was blown away by her. This is how we get to almost 24 years of marriage. It started with Kim got my attention. And when I visited, I was like, whoa, who is that? And here, this is how we started out. Me without facial hair. This is, I think, 1998. So, spring break. We took a little trip. But again, after a year of dating, a year of engagement, it led where we are now. It started a path, and it started with simply, she got my attention. I was like, wow. All right? But if that doesn't work for you, how about these things? When you go to a store, you ever find yourself returning home with more stuff than you thought you were going with? I saw a cute little video this past week of a husband that said he was filming his wife. She was going to Target to get milk. And so the film was, why does it take my wife so long to go to Target to get milk? And he's filming her in the store, and she's checking out pillows and different things. Now, mind you, she's there for milk. And I thought, this is so funny. I sent it to Kim. I'm like, for guys, we go in, get in, get out most of the time. Depends where we're shopping. Right? But she's checking all these different things out, and I thought that was funny. And so, again, product placement is a big thing. When I worked at Sam's, we actually had someone who thought about where the merchandise went, depending on the flow of traffic coming in the building. There were certain things that would get our attention. And so, again, you know, that's why they had those kiosks at the grocery line store there. Last-minute purchase, impulse buys, they call them, right? It's to grab your attention, thinking, oh, I need that at the last second. Look, everyone's being very calculated about trying to win your attention in this world by what they place and where they place it. And so we get this idea. And honestly, so just a little story on the ladies, a little story on the guys. This is why Kim does not let me shop in Home Depot alone. You know, I'll go in there, I need something, I come back with a couple other things, or electronic stores. That's why I'm not allowed to shop on car lots. I like cars. Kim has to be present with me. And maybe some of you guys know the same thing when it comes to your husbands. And so, again, this is the change to the principle. Our destination is determined by our direction. Our direction is dictated by whatever holds our attention. Your attention determines direction. And so I want to go a little bit deeper, okay? Because maybe I feel like I haven't sold you quite yet. I'm going to ask a question here. Let's see how much you know Bible knowledge. Think about it for a minute. When Adam and Eve sinned, what was one of the things that instigated the chain of events? I heard someone get it right. It was pleasing to look at. Look at this verse here. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a light to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate of it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Adam and Eve took their eyes off the truth of what God told them, and became distracted by something else. And this put them on their path out of the garden. Started. Now, it wasn't the only thing. For those of you going, well, Paul, there was more. Yes, there was more, but notice how their attention was caught. In this situation, the distraction didn't only cost them personally, but it cost us big time as well. So again, as we're thinking about past, this is a critical idea that we got to get around our heads around, because it's a big deal when it comes to our faith and where we want to be and where we want to get to. So as we think about this growing in a faith, there's two things that I think the Genesis 3 passage bring out and Proverbs 4. And again, I think one of them is, again, as we're talking about right now, your attention determines your direction, your destination. And the second thing, we're going to talk about this in a second. We have a choice to what we give our attention to. And so let me just kind of drill down on the first point a little bit more. I think it's fair to say that emotions tend to fuel the things that grab or capture our attention. So if we look at Genesis 3 again together, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, right, it triggered an emotional response. I think I shared with the church here a while ago, you know, I was really heavy. And a lot of my issues for weight was this kind of stress eating. There was an emotional connection to what I was doing. And so we see this playing out here. She saw that the tree was good for food, an emotional connection, right? It was the light to the eyes. It was something that made her the happy gene going, right? And then the tree was desired to make one wise. And so there was a couple things going on here. She was seeing the benefits from her side of things. There was this emotional like decision being made when it came to choosing the fruit. And it's clear what Adam and Eve saw aligned with this desire, right? That they wanted something. It steered them in making a decision and put them on a path, as we said, that led them out of the garden. And here's the irony. The same thing continues to happen to us today. It continues to happen to us today. Again, think back to the impulse buy at the register. I need that whatever. Because if we're being honest, we think that somehow that whatever is going to satisfy what we need. There's the emotional connection. We don't just buy random stuff because we buy random stuff. No, there's a connection. We envision ourselves driving the car. We envision ourselves about chewing that gum. You know, or man, we're thirsty. All of a sudden, we weren't thirsty before, but we are now. It's like someone rang a bell in our head. Water. Soda. Again, we believe that somehow this, whatever it is going to fulfill the need that we have. And so, again, emotions tend to fuel the things that grab or capture our attention. Now, is this it for us? Do we have no hope? Are we just doomed to the fact that we're just, you know, reactionary creatures and created beings? No. No, actually, Solomon says, no, there's hope. You actually get to choose what you give your attention to. And he says this very clearly in our verse here again, going back into these three verses. Let your eyes look directly forward and gaze, be straight before you. Ponder the paths of your feet. Ponder the paths of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So Proverbs makes the point here. Solomon makes the point. Let's be honest. Let's be aware that attention, like the things that get our attention, can distract us and move us in the wrong direction. But you have a choice. You get to choose what you decide to give your attention to. So before we go any further, let's just be, again, think about this practically. What has our attention these days? Is it a relationship? Relationships are big ones. I've seen so many people, Christians, make compromises in their dating relationships because there's this need of wanting to be wanted, this need to feel valued by somebody. And sometimes we enter into relationships that we shouldn't even enter into because we're not aligned by faith. But we compromise it because we think this is going to be what we need. What about a career, right? I've seen so many people put stock in their career. When we were living in Wilton, Connecticut, big white-collar area, I was talking to our neighbor's kids at the bus stop when my kids were younger. And they said, I don't see my dad until Sunday. He's gone before I'm gone for school, and he's back after late at night after dinner. Pursuing career. And get off track. What about a house? I mean, we value things and stuff. We think like having a bigger home somehow is going to satisfy the need, right? How about an enjoyable hobby? When the hobby becomes more of a dominant thing in your life, where everything else gets neglected, we need to ask serious questions. The people in our lives, are they really heading the same direction that we want to go? But how many of us will throw that to the side, that reason to the side, because we're just seeking friendship? We don't care about the quality of friends in our lives, but we just want companionship. Proverbs have something to say about that too. It says, the person who suffers is the companion of fools. Just something to think about. What about our marriage or our children? Your faith. I'll go back to children for a second. I've also seen this too. One of the things, and I have kids right here right now, one of the things that I hope my kids see is how I value my wife. I didn't want to make it all about my kids. I want them to understand what it means to be valued too by hopefully their future spouses. But so many families put kids first. And in doing so, their kids think the world revolves around them. I wanted my girls to see their mom dated by me still. I didn't just stop now that we have a ring on our finger. I wanted to show them what it looks to value a spouse. What has our attention these days? Because again, as we're learning this morning, what has your attention determines your direction. And yet, there's good news. We get to choose what has our attention. So here's where I'm going with this morning. I think, and I hope you see that there are paths that will lead towards God, and there are paths that will lead away from God. And I'm hoping that you can start to see what are the things that I'm focusing on. Are they leading me towards the Lord, or are they leading me away from the Lord? And this happens at any stage of life. Doesn't matter if you're young, old. There will always be things that will distract us from pursuing the Lord. So, as I was thinking about this, some of you guys might be here this morning, and you've been experiencing a slow fade in your relationship with God. And if you're being honest, that's exactly what's happening. What has your attention? For others, you might be here, and right now it's been a series of, I'm trying to get traction on a right path, but I keep making mistakes. I can't seem to get on and going in the right direction. What has your attention? For others, you know where you want to be and where you want to get to, but you're having a hard time getting there. What has your attention? I wrote this one here because I think we have to be honest about this. I think there's some of us who have been in the faith for a while, and I think we feel like we've kind of arrived. We wouldn't say that out loud because that's arrogance, but it happens. Our pride keeps us in a place where it says, like I started out earlier in the message, you know what you know, and that's nothing's going to change. And I started thinking about this. Is this possible? Sure it is. All you have to do is look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' day. These are the most religiously in tune with the scriptures. And yet they were arrogant. And Jesus' biggest beef were with those people, the mature in faith. They couldn't learn anything else. And so again, I'm hoping, what are the paths that you're on? Which way are you heading? Are you able to learn still? What has your attention? And if it's true that we get to choose our attention, then I think also Solomon talks to this too. He continues on to equip us. He says, look, if it's true that you have a choice in what you give your attention to, then here's some things you can do. Going back into our passage this morning. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. And then 27, do not swerve to the right or the left, but turn your foot away from evil. Look, Solomon says, look, if you get to choose what you give your attention to, then look straight forward. And I believe he's talking about the Lord. And you know this, scripture has a lot to say about our attention and direction and looking and our focus. Just two verses here I want to share with you. You have this one here. In Philippians, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. I think what the Apostle Paul is saying is we give too much attention to sometimes our past. And it prevents us from moving forward. Whether it be sin issues or mistakes that we've made, he's saying, look, I'm going to throw all that off and I'm just going to go after Christ hard. Because he's called me towards something. He's called me towards heaven. And so I'm going to live and walk in such a way, in paths that pursue his righteousness. And you know what? Those other things that people want to bring up, Satan wants to bring up to make me stumble or think I'm not worthy or whatever it is, he says, I'm going to put that all, it's all noise. It's all noise. Everything else is just a distraction that will keep you from getting to where you need to go. Paul says, come on, let's get busy. Let's move on, get past those things. He also, and again, we don't really know who wrote Hebrews. Some people think Paul was an influence or not. But Hebrews 12, 2, 3 reminds us here, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You're going to have things that are going to try to get in your way from growing. Some things that are going to get in your path. But we're told here, fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't swerve to the right or the left. Don't let your eyes wander. And so this is my suggestion for us. Don't let your heart or your attention be captured by lesser things. Focus your attention on Jesus, on following him, getting to know him better, serving him fully, becoming like him more and more every day. Go hard after him. And the second thing that Solomon reminds his readers comes, again, back in the passage here. He says in verse 27, turn your foot away from evil. If I can encourage you with this, is if you're thinking, man, I've messed up again, I'm in that place. Well, what does the scripture say? The prudent see danger, and they hide themselves. They take refuge, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Don't be simple. Make a change. Solomon says, get off of that road. If you're heading for danger, it's not too late. And if I encourage you with this, while you have breath in your lungs right now, it's not too late. It's when that breath leaves you, it's too late. You have an opportunity now. Change. Solomon says, if you're heading the wrong direction, if it's heading towards evil, the wrong way, get off of that path and get onto a new one. Yeah, it might be hard, but let's think back to what God's given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us. He's given his word. He's giving us a community of men and women of faith, mature, that have been there and done that. God doesn't leave us alone. He knows how hard it's going to be, but he gives you the tools to navigate it. And this is what we've been talking about. Now, one final thought I have for us this morning, and it's this. The early days of Christianity. We know that Christians were facing persecutions, and especially we know under the Emperor Nero. We heard how he treated Christians. There's a hymn, actually, in Philippians. We don't know if it was something that Paul adopted from another saint, and he included it in his letters, or if it actually was him. It's quite possible he wrote it as well, but we find it this hymn in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, and it says this, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Did you guys know that was a hymn that was sung? Here's why I think Paul included this song in the letter to the Philippians. I think he wanted everyone to know that someday every person will meet Jesus and they will bow before Jesus. And it doesn't matter what path they're on. There are some who are going to be on a path that will take them towards Jesus in the right way, and there are some that are not. If you listen to the words, he says this, one day some will be in heaven and they will bow. Others will be on this earth, and they will bow. And others, they'll be under earth, and they will bow. Now, you have to reconcile those in heaven and those under the earth. I don't think it's just simply dead and buried. Because if there will be those in heaven who have passed on, who will bow, then they've gone into their destination the way they wanted to. There are some that are going to have to bow on earth because of the second coming. We don't know the time or hour, but he's coming. And so there will be men of women of faith, and there will be men and women who have no faith. And they will bow as well. This under the earth part, this is not a destination you want to be. These are people who are separated from God. And their path took them exactly where they wanted to go. Let me say this in closing. If you pursue anything less than Jesus, you may end up bowing your knee before him from a destination you never wanted to be. This is why Hebrews 12 says, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the path to heaven. And Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know what another word for way is? Path. Jesus is the way. He is the path to heaven. We're reminded today that whatever you give your attention to determines direction. Whatever direction you head in will determine where you wind up. But you have a choice. You have a choice. You can either follow Jesus or you can follow something less than him. Which do you choose? Let's pray. Lord, if we're being honest, we know that we ebb and flow sometimes in our walk with you. And we know this because there's things that distract us and get our attention. And I'm thankful for your patience with us. But we pray, Lord, that you would help us to fix our eyes on you. We know you give us that choice. You don't force yourselves upon us. You tell us, hey, there's a better way. And then we have to make that decision. Your word even tells us it's a decision that we have to make on a daily basis. To choose what the Spirit wants or what our flesh wants. God, I would pray, Lord, that we would see you better than anything else. Lord, I believe that most people here have made a decision to follow you, but I also believe that sometimes life gets at us and we get distracted and we go in other ways. So I pray for us this morning that one, we would be honest where we're at and which direction we're heading in. And two, that we would just recommit ourselves right here, right now. I want to give you guys that chance. I want to create that space. I'm going to stop praying here. But you talk to the Lord. You tell him where you're at. And if you just need to renew your focus, tell him that right now. Lord, I pray for all of us here today, Lord, that we would be pursuing paths of righteousness. And as we do that, we would experience your presence and the joy of knowing you. that feeling of just knowing that we're in the right place, that we're in step with your Spirit. Jesus, thank you for being faithful to us when we're not. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Rick's going to come and lead us in communion here, but again, just want to say, come back next week for the final.